The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Saturday's racing, a good Saturday as well, which features the final day of Royal Ascot 2014. We also have Ayr, Newmarket and Redcar in the afternoon, Haydock and Lingfield in the evening. Plenty to look forward to. That's all live on William Hill Racing Radio from 1:40pm. It'll be Sean Quinn, Alistair Whitehouse-Jones and Gary Capewell in the studio. Right now though, my name is Mark Walton and I'm joined on the line by Catherine Fry. How are you, Catherine?
Yeah, good, thanks, Mark.
Good. Royal Ascot's been fantastic so far, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's been absolutely brilliant. And yesterday in particular, I think it's probably one of my favourite days so far.
Good. Well, we'll look back at yesterday then. The Gold Cup was fantastic. I mean, what a finish to a race of that distance with Leading Light ending up the winner ahead of Estimate, who went so close in a bid to repeat her success from last year, and Miss United back in third. There wasn't much between them. Do you think that Leading Light deserved to win in the end?
Yeah, I do. I know there's sort of been some sort of controversy saying that he kept Estimate in, but it's race riding, isn't it? So I mean, Joseph. I was pleased for Joseph O'Brien. The lad seems to have an awful lot of critics. So just to sort of see him do that, and I thought he rode the perfect race. It was one of those races which to me just sort of epitomises everything I love about the game, in the fact that I'd actually backed Leading Light Anti-Post, but I found myself shouting for Miss United. That mare just ran an absolute screamer, and I mean, some training performance from Mick Winters to you know, he wouldn't sort of really be the sort of kind of trainer you'd associate with when, you know, going close in an Ascot Gold Cup. But it was absolutely brilliant. For me, I have to say, it's probably the race of the flat season so far for me.
It was a thrilling finish. Leading Light coming out on top of that. That was one big success for Aidan O'Brien. He had a good day as well, because he also secured his first Ribblesdale win with Bracelet coming home in front in that one.
Yeah, I was surprised at the price she went off at, actually, Mark, because I always thought that she would be better over trip, given her breeding. And, you know, I think you can strike a line through the Guineas run. I know she was very impressive at Leopardstown before that, when winning really over seven over an inadequate distance. It was well documented at the time, sort of just after the Guineas, that Aidan's horses weren't right. I honestly couldn't believe the price she went off of. The fact that, obviously, first-time hood, Aidan said before that he'd been working her in the hood at home, and that sort of had seemed to have done the trick. I think remains to be seen if she, you know, obviously that's group two. Is she going to be a proper group one filly? Who knows? But, I mean, she's bred in the purple, and yeah, it was no surprise really. Just it's one of those things. She was a filly on my list to watch for this year, and then to watch her scoot in at that price and sort of nothing on her, but you know, but it's just sometimes nice to sort of, you know, see the faith of your own convictions going.
Yeah, another big success for Aidan O'Brien at Royal Ascot. Then we also saw the 70th Royal Ascot success for Sir Michael Stout, with Canic Chase taking the Tercentenary Stakes.
Yeah, I mean, it was pretty being talked about sort of beforehand. Like, defeat was out of the question, really, wasn't it? To be honest, it didn't surprise me in any shape or form. But yeah, no, I say I've enjoyed it all so far. Obviously not there this year, just watching from the sofa. But you know, it is great. I think tomorrow is actually one of my favourite days. I love the Diamond Jubilee, so looking forward to that.
Yeah, we'll just wait a little bit longer for that, though. We'll move on to that in due course. Just a couple more to talk about. Elite Army was the winner of the King George V Stakes. Kieran Fallon had been stuck on 29 Royal Ascot winners for 2 years until that success, and it just shows that he's enjoying quite a renaissance, isn't he, in the saddle?
Yeah, it is, and I was watching sort of the interviews afterwards, and you know, he says that he actually owes the Godolphin operation everything. So, yeah, it's great. I think we sort of discussed on the pod before the sort of rejuvenated Kieran Fallon. And I mean, you can say what you want about him, but he's always been sort of, King Kieran in my eyes, he's just always been an absolute supreme talent. So it is really nice to see him back firing in these wins, and especially in the Royal Ascot wins. And also talking about young lad having his first Royal Ascot win, it was great to see David Probert do that yesterday as well. So that was it was a great day really yesterday for lots of reasons.
It was, yes. Great for David Probert getting his first success on Born in Bombay in the Britannia Stakes. And we might as well mention Bertha Algar as well for Frankie Dettori in the Norfolk Stakes. He finally did a flying dismount at Royal Ascot. He was waiting, saving it for Trev, wasn't he? But that wasn't to be. But he did it yesterday, so that's good to see.
Yeah, surprised to see that, actually, considering he's sort of, he's not long after his injury. I was surprised to see that do it. I thought Mind of Madness ran an absolute blinder, having run earlier in the week. And just a point on Trev, I'm amazed that people are writing her off already. It was quite plain to see that she wasn't moving great on the pictures beforehand. But to be honest, 1 mile 2 on quick ground, I wouldn't have her down as really enjoying that anyway. And I think to finish as close as she did, and something that she clearly wasn't enjoying, proves that the class is still there. And I think John Gosden said afterwards, he's a man that often talks a lot of sense. He said that put her back on 1 mile 4 on soft ground, then she's practically unbeatable. And I kind of agree with him on that.
Yeah, I'm not one to disagree with John Gosden very often.
No.
And from reports, apparently Al Shakab Racing's vet will examine Trev with a fine tooth comb to see if there was anything wrong. But I think everyone realised that her race was done before she even started, wasn't she?
Yeah,
she
absolutely.
Didn't travel down very well.
And I did see sort of some reports on Twitter that she actually got quite distressed in the preliminary, sort of in the pre-parade ring. I think she lost an earplug, something like that. So, yeah, everything, you can imagine her mind was probably shot, before she even come out the stores. So I wasn't worried about the defeat to Cirrus beforehand, and there's certainly, people last year were quickly writing off Cirrus de Zegel. I think people are sometimes quick to write off, and they're not machines. As talented as she is, as much as a superstar she is, she's not a machine. So I certainly not crossing her off of any list just yet anyway.
No, I'm sure she'll bounce back at some point. Anyway, that will do for the reflection on Thursday's action. Let's look ahead to Saturday's action next.
William Hill Racing Radio. From the first race until the last, it's everything to give you the inside track.
Right then, on to Saturday, the final day of the of Royal Ascot 2014. We're going to look at three races: the Hardwick Stakes, the big race of the day, the Diamond Jubilee Stakes, and we'll finish with a look at the Wokingham Stakes. So, good day to look forward to, isn't it, Catherine?
Yes, great day. Actually, one of my favourite days. I know, obviously, things have been rejigged a lot in the years since this was traditionally Ascot Heath Day. It became part of Royal Ascot in 2002. But no, I love it. I said earlier, Diamond Jubilee is one of my favourite races of the season. So, yeah, looking forward to it very much.
OK, the first race we're going to look at is the 3:45. This is the Hardwick Stakes, Group 2 for four-year-olds and over, a mile and a half. And we have betting on site as well for all of Saturday's Royal Ascot races, so if you want to have a bet, you can do so now. And Telescope heads the betting for this at 9-4. Hillstar is 4-1, 7-1 for Dandino and Eye of the Storm, 9-1 for Forgotten Voice and Sharistan, 10-1 for Peter's Moon, 12-1 for Camborne and Ectiham, and Joshua Tree is the 20-1 outsider. What are your thoughts here then, Catherine?
There's one I like in particular. It was actually an eye-catcher of mine back end of last season, and that's Eye of the Storm of Aidan O'Brien's. Obviously, I was almost getting a bit worried before yesterday about some of the form of the O'Brien horses, and he was actually quick to say in the interview after Bracelet yesterday that some are still sort of showing that they're not, they're a bit below par, but obviously some aren't. Saw that yesterday with Bracelet and Leading Light. I think why I like Eye of the Storm, there are a lot of reasons really. A lot of the form ties in with Miss United. He beat her at the Curragh last year in a listed contest over 2 miles. She'd previously beaten him at Galway in a listed race for 1 mile 4. I think his most eye-catching run for me, as I said earlier, was on Champions Day at Ascot. Then, although the official going was soft, it was pretty testing. It was pretty obvious that it was closer to heavy. He was the only 3-year-old in the race. and he was just touched off for second place. A lot's been made about his fourth and the appearance and the Savile Beg to Miss United. Obviously, that form's looking pretty nice now. I don't think there was anything wrong with that. He obviously wasn't fully tuned up. It was his comeback run. It's pretty well documented before that a few of Aidan's have been under the weather. And you know that in most cases, he does always like to leave a bit of work on. If you look at the rivals that finished in front of him, they were all race fit. Miss United had run at Limerick. She'd run at Ascot. Shu Lewis had won at Killarney and Tirana. John Oxfilly had actually won at Limerick. You know, his stablemate Venus DeMilo finished in eighth and actually came out to win a Group 3 contest at Cork at the weekend. I know Telescope is his favourite for this race. Is that right, Mark?
Telescope is, the 9-4 favourite.
Yeah, I know he's favourite, but what price is Eye of the Storm with you?
Eye of the Storm, 7-1.
Yeah, I think that's a lovely price. Obviously, with Telescope, he does get called some names. I think his two outings this season, you've seen him finish second to a rejuvenated Noble Mission, but he is something of a nearly horse. Can he do it? Well, yeah, he probably can. But like I said, with him, you have always almost got this big question mark over his head. It's interesting that Nicky Henson actually supplemented Forgotten Voice. Obviously, the Wolfton winner last year has actually got two Royal Ascot wins to his name. Hit a bit of trouble in running at Newbury before flashing home second to Mount Athos. Obviously, Nicky's been in pretty good form, summer jumping this year, so you fully expect him to run his race. Horses such as Camborne, I think, they're going to need a bit more cut in the ground. Obviously, Duke of Edinburgh winner in 2012. Hillstar, you have to bring in. Royal Ascot winner last season. Loves this course and distance. Horses such as Dandino, look, he was second last year, but he's got to overcome a long absence. It's quite interesting that the hood's been applied to Ektiham. Obviously, the nasty incident in this race last year where he slipped up on the bend. The ground's going to suit him. But, yeah, I was looking at a race of this nature for either Storm, so I was very happy to see him line up here and said he's been an eye catcher of mine from last October, so I'd be quite happy to take the 7-1 where he's concerned.
Okay, Eye of the Storm and the selection for Catherine in the Hardwick. Just one more thing to mention on this race. Ryan Moore has chosen to ride Telescope over Hillstar. Do you see that as being a significant choice, or do you think it'd been a hard choice for him to make?
I think it'd be quite a hard choice because even though Telescope gets called more names than Hillstar, I kind of have them pretty much much of a muchness in that. They're creditable performers, but there's not. I mean, well, there's a pound between them on official ratings, and they are almost the. It sounds ridiculous when I say that the nearly horses, but in my eyes, they are. You know, you never know which Hillstar or which Telescope you're going to see. Both on their day are supremely talented. So, I'm not reading too much into that, to be honest.
Okay, and Catherine's going for Eye of the Storm, then nice price as well, 7-1 in the Hardwick. Let's move on to the big race of the day, the 425, the Diamond Jubilee Stakes. It's part of the British Champion Series and Global Sprint Challenge, Group 1 over 6 furlongs, and the betting is headed by Slade Power, who's 7-2. Aljama here is 4-1. 6-1 for Due Diligence, 8-1 for Astaire. Gordon Lord Byron, 9-1. 16s for American Devil and Darwin, and Jack Dexter, and Medician Man, and Music Master. It's 20-1 for SK Love, and 25-1 or bigger prices the rest. We saw Soul Power win a big sprint at Royal Ascot earlier on in the week. Do you think Slade Power will follow suit?
He's actually my anti-post bet for this race. Mark, after he'd sort of won at the Curragh, I backed him when he was around the 8-1 mark, I think. Obviously, beat him after he'd beaten Marek at the Curragh. The race that impressed me most about him last year was his third in the July Cup. It was just his determined attitude that day to just sort of plug on and in third place. Just, I don't know, it was something. Oh, it sounds weird to say, but it was something about the look of him that day, the shape of him, that I just thought. You're a sprinter with a serious Group 1 future. Obviously, there's been several rumours always emanating from the camp that they believe that he will turn out better than Soul Power. That's quite an accolade. The way he won the Curragh last time out obviously made him an obvious choice for me. Here, if I was going to be sort of any sort of sceptical at all, you could argue that he is best with cutting the ground, but he has won on good, so it's not... It's, I'm not too concerned about that. So I thought that I had the sort of Diamond Jubilee put to bed and everything like that until the beginning of this month when I saw due diligence when at Nace. Obviously, he gets the £7 allowance as a three-year-old. He's a Warfront colt. He used to be trained by Todd Fletcher in the US. First run in Ireland, saw him come third to Principal at Dundalk in a listed contest. So came on leaps and bounds after that. Went on to readily take a premier handicap at Nace in May. Returned to Nace at the beginning of June to make all an enlisted race. It's sort of much of a cliche to use phrases like this, and I don't really like using them, but is open to any amount of improvement. I think he's still very much the unknown quality, and the fact that he has got that weight allowance, obviously, which is why Joseph isn't on him. He's already got a mark of 113. That only puts him sort of £6 shy of Slade Power already. To be honest, Mark, they are the two for me. So I have already backed Slade Power. I wish I'd have been on due diligence at fancy prices, but for me, it is one of those two that are going to hit the post in front.
Okay, Slade Power, the 7-2 market leader, and due diligence is 6-1, and those two are the two that Catherine likes in the 425, the Diamond Jubilee Stakes. So moving on to the 5 o'clock, it's the Wokingham Stakes, a heritage handicap over 6 furlongs, a class 2 handicap with 29 of them in the lineup. It's not the easiest puzzle to solve, and Ninjago heads the betting at 8-1, and a bit of money for that as well from 10s. 10-1 for Rocky Ground, 11-1 for Seeking Magic, Absolutely So 12s, 14s for York Glory and Baccarat, 16-1 for Alban Star and Dandy Boy, and 20-1 or bigger prices the rest. Where do you want to start in this?
I was going to say, if you've got a pin handy, Mark, we'll just get that. Yeah, it's, to be honest, when I started looking at this race, I thought, oh God, what have you done? I have played it safe slightly with another selection at a bigger price. If you just talk briefly about the favourite Ninjago, it's easy to see why. Obviously, course and distance winner in May 2013, and he was literally just beaten half a length in 6 furlongs Newmarket last time out. I've actually sort of played it a little bit safe. I've gone with Rocky Ground. I just thought that his win in it was quite a competitive listed contest at Windsor last time out. I don't know, it was the type of performance where you kind of sit up and take note, and think that he looked as though he was going to be progressive. He's up £5 from that. I don't think that's harsh at all. And to be honest, if you look back at his previous run before that at Newmarket, when he was ninth to Soul Power, he was only 3¾ lengths off of Soul Power in his first start of the season in a Group 3. And I don't think there was any disgrace in that at all. Ground will be absolutely spot on for him, and I'm expecting a bold show. Obviously, Where's the Hood, which seems to help him out. I'm one at a bigger price I'm keeping my eye on, Mark, is Hoofit, good old Hoofit. I've been watching him, sort of his exploits on the all weather throughout the winter, and I'm pretty sure there's a big premier handicap left in him. Obviously, when he won the Stewards' Cup at Goodwood in 2011, he was off a mark of 111. He's now only 100. Felt like he's 105 3 years later, which suggests to me that the handicapper is still not taking many chances with him. Had a quick look at odds checker before I started doing this pod, and there does seem to people are nibbling at him, and I can completely see why. Other than that, Mark, well, I think I will just get the pin out, and you know, it's contests like this, I absolutely love them, but they are almost nigh on impossible. You got your eye on anything?
Well, no, not really, to be honest. It's so tricky. I mean, the money for Ninjago is quite interesting. I mean, I think it was about 20-1 earlier on in the week, or a couple of days ago, and he's now obviously 8-1 market leader. Richard Hannan and Richard Hughes are enjoying a good Royal Ascot so far, and that effort at Newmarket was quite eye catching last time, only just beaten. So, I suppose that catches your eye a little bit. I think last year's winner, York Glory's a little bit too high, although his reappearance was fairly encouraging, but £9 higher mark to Defy, and beyond that, it's just a minefield.
That's literally on my notes. I've sort of got, you know, notes about Rocky Ground, notes about Hoofit. I have got a little mention for Glenn Mars. Obviously, got good form over 7 at Ascot. I don't think the drop back to 6 is going to do him any harm. You know, both the first and fourth at Ascot could completely see him getting in the shake up. But as I say, I know, again, another cliche, but it is one of these races where you go back through and you pick the form apart. You're going to find a case for every single one. You've got two previous previous winners in the race, Dandy Boy and Lord Glory. But yeah, I think to be honest with you, I'm quite happy just sort of playing it safe with rocky ground, and also say I have had my eye on Hoofit, so quite happy to put him in as an each way selection as well.
Okay, a couple against the field. I'm sure we'll allow that with 29 runners in that big race. Right, let's just have a quick summary, if you wouldn't mind spinning us through your selections one more time.
Yeah, absolutely. So tomorrow in the Hardwick Stakes, I'm going to go with Eye of the Storm. In the Diamond Jubilee, I'm sort of somewhere sitting on the fence between Slade Power and Due Diligence. Just can't split them in my mind. And in the Woking, I'm playing it safe with Rocky Ground and at a bigger price, good old Hoofit.
Okay, good stuff. Thank you very much, Catherine. Good luck with your selections and enjoy the final day of Royal Ascot.
Thanks, Mark. You too.
So there you go, the selections of Catherine Fry for the final day of Royal Ascot 2014. It's a good day in prospect. We also have Ayr, Newmarket and Redcar in the afternoon, and Haydock and Lingfield in the evening, so plenty to look forward to. You'll hear it all on Racing Radio from 1:40pm with Sean Quinn, Alistair Whitehouse-Jones and Gary Capewell in the studio. So do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast, and enjoy Saturday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.